The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng. In the headlines, President Mills to begin nationwide tour as NDC prepares to launch campaign next month for this year's elections. People of Gusau assured of peace and security in 2012 polls. Gas policy before cabinet. Public sector teachers to receive free laptops from government. International Criminal Court of Justice to rule today whether Chadian President Hissène Habré should be extradited to face trial in Belgium, and U.S. Army to allow its members to wear uniform at a gay pride march for the first time.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
President John Evans Atta Mills is set to embark on a nationwide campaign for this year's electioneering as the NDC prepares to launch the campaign next month. Speaking to the Presidential Press Corps at the Castle, Osu, the Director of Communications at the Presidency, Kwaku Anyidoho, said President Mills is still committed to the Better Ghana agenda. This is because the people of Ghana need development. Mr. Anyidoho explained that the Better Ghana agenda hinges on investing in people, building a resilient and robust economy, jobs, and providing an honest, transparent, and accountable governance.
It's always been about development. The people of Ghana certainly gave the president a mandate to improve their lot. Of course, the president also campaigned on the platform of change, promising to build a better Ghana, you know, anchoring the Better Ghana agenda around four major pillar points: investing in people, building a strong and resilient economy, expanding infrastructure, and then, of course, governing in an open, honest, and transparent manner. And so precisely the reason why President Mills is stepping out, as it were, to let the people of Ghana follow the development agenda. You can only invest in people if you provide quality education. You can only provide quality education if you provide proper learning environment and commissioning, you know, of the three-story teaching classroom block edifice in Mampobi. This is a clear testimony of President Mills' investing in people agenda. And that story building is only one out of 72 coming up in the Accra metropolis alone. Is a solid development that the people are going to pay attention to, especially as the election is coming up. And that's what President Mills is focused on. The more he steps out there, and the more people see him, because when we go out, that's what I keep hearing. People say, we thank God for our president. And he's healthy, he's fit, and then that's it. So once he continues to be out there, that is what will confound those who wish him dead. And we thank God that he's alive and he's strong, and it is God who gives, and at God's own appointed time, he will decide.
President Mills and former President Rawlings met at the castle at the instance of President Mills. He said the feedback from the rank and file of the NDC is positive, as the party needs a united front to start the 2012 campaign. Mr. Anyidoho refuted some publications that the meeting took place in Bata, Equatorial Guinea.
President Mills is the leader of the NDC. President Rawlings is the founder of the NDC. And so they decided to meet. And so, yes, President Mills threw the invitation, and President Rawlings accepted. And yes, the former president and the current president, yes, they met here in the castle. That the party for sure is actually happy. The feedback is positive that the founder and the leader of the great NDC party have met. And for us, that is it. I mean, you saw President Rawlings raise President Mills' hand in Sunyani after Congress spoke, and then they met again. The NDC is united, I mean, and the party for soldiers are happy, and that's it. We're just hoping that God himself will lead us through the elections, and as President Mills continues to say, that we'll come out of the election unscathed, and that no persons will be allowed, you know, to have their own way in terms of disturbing the peace of the country. We can only move forward, not backwards.
The Director of Communications at the Presidency said Ghana stands to benefit more from gas than the oil. It is for this reason that the government is putting in place the necessary infrastructure to enable the country to enjoy maximum benefits from the gas. This, according to Mr. Anyidoho, will greatly aid the country's industrial takeoff. He said a test run of the gas pipelines will be carried out this November.
Hoping that by November, the gas pipelines will be tested. The infrastructure is being laid. And I can tell you that the gas is going to mean more to us as a nation than even the oil. It is the gas that we're going to be going to use to really power energy supply. And so then we reduce the cost of energy. It is the gas that is going to help us power the petrochemical industries, the allied industries that are going to come out, the fertilizer industries and all the other allied industries that are going to come out as a result of the oil find. And so gas is really what is going to take us to that level. The oil, yes, is good, but it's the gas. And thank God that we have more gas than oil. And if what Dr. Sipayanki is saying, and we believe so, then till the end of this year, once we start the test runs, God willing, President Mills gets second term in 2013, Ghana should be a different story altogether.
Director of Communications at the Presidency, Kwoku Anyidoho. In spite of the violent clashes encountered during the early part of this year at Gusheu in the northern region, the place has been assured of peace and security for the December elections. The district chief executive, Alhassan Fuseini, told Radio Ghana that the assembly has put in place adequate measures to ensure free and fair elections.
We have prepared enough. That is why for about close to 3 years now, apart from the Fulani conflict, you have not heard of any conflict. And so we are well equipped. The security on the ground is well rehearsed towards this election. And we've been also holding several meetings, briefings, and any little chance that we get, as I said, the populace is educated on all these things that will lead to a successful election this year. This is something that the whole nation must hold in brief. We must be patient, we must be tolerant, we must all go, about our campaign, phrase with ease, without insults, without intimidation. We must also try and know that we are a peace-loving country, and also people must know that it is only God who selects a king.
District Chief Executive of Gusheu, Alhassan Fuseini. 9 media establishments, including the GBC, have received funds totaling $420,000 from Star Ghana to initiate programs that will help deepen the country's democratic process. The money is also to help the media to educate the public and address issues that will reduce potential conflicts before, during, and after the elections. At a signing ceremony in Accra, the project manager of Star Ghana, Ibrahim Tanko Amidu, said the media must play their role well as agenda setters and hold politicians accountable. Rebecca Epe has more.
Besides the media organizations that are receiving grants totaling 798,000 Ghana cedis from Star Ghana, 45 other civil service organizations are receiving a grant of $4.8 million from Star Ghana. These institutions are therefore obligated to pursue various interventions aimed at enhancing transparency of activities around the electoral cycle. The interventions include increasing accountability and responsiveness of stakeholders like the Electoral Commission, Judiciary, Police, Security Services, and political parties. Project Manager for Star Ghana, Ibrahim Tanko Amidu, elaborates on what is expected of the media.
Setting the agenda as watchdogs, informing people, but also promoting peaceful election. We also recognize the role of the media in ensuring that our election campaigning will be about issues. These days, when we talk about peace or peaceful election, we're looking at preventing violence, talking to people. But I think it's also been said that one of the causes or the reasons why we're beginning to see all this is the fact that politicians are not accountable for the promises that they make during elections or during the campaign. So after the elections, people feel cheated. And so come the next elections, they either think that we need to do this and this and this and that in order to draw attention or to put signboards that no electricity, no votes. So we also recognize that the media has an important role during the campaigning to raise the issues but after the election to hold the politicians accountable to the promises that they made.
On behalf of the grant partners, Dr. Doris Dati of The Spectator expressed appreciation to Star Ghana and promised that the grants will be used judiciously. Deputy Director General of the GBC, Kwabena Sapon Anani, who signed on behalf of the Director General, Befia Penting, said the grant comes as a timely intervention to the public broadcaster to facilitate its work.
Production of programs educating the public about electioneering activities involve huge sums of money. It has come at the right time. We have already started our programs on elections, and it is to the advantage of Ghana Broadcasting Corporation to produce more of such programs, to cover activities, to go over all the country so that the people will see the activities that we are expected to perform.
Star Ghana is a multi-donor pooled funding mechanism supported by UK Aid, Danida, the European Union, and US Aid.
A report by Rebecca Epe. And now moving on, the president of the International Public Relations Association, Johanna McDowell, has charged all PR practitioners to take a critical look at the role they play in society in the face of the worldwide transformation change. Ms. McDowell noted, among others, the financial crisis spillover, the volatile and turbulent operating environment, and the downward slide of stock value of the financial market. As a result, governments and private sector have put in place change management or organizational development strategies. A statement signed by the Executive Secretary of the Institute of Public Relations, Joseph E.T. Dute, said these challenges have necessitated an international congress to be held next week to address challenges which include external and internal communication, managing resistance to change, and rekindling of low employee morale during a change process. A member of the five-member delegation, Richard Anani of Unibank, said the Congress will be rewarding and expose practitioners to best practices with respect to strategic PR practices during periods of change. The Public Accounts Committee, PAC, has commended officials of Avnash Industries for saving the country's thousands of Ghana citizen interests that had accrued on an outstanding payment due to them. The parent company of Avnash, the Loyalty Industries Group, assets were confiscated in 1972 under a decree from government, but efforts by the company to reclaim these assets over the years proved futile. In 1996, the company made a headway when the Loyalty Group went to the International Court of Arbitration in The Hague. In 1997, the government of India and Ghana agreed to settle the matter through a concessionary loan from India, a report by Augustus Akwari.
The solicitor for Avnash Industries, Nana Asare-Dankwa, told the Public Accounts Committee that his clients put in claims for more than $50 million as cause for wrongful compensation and loss of profit from 1972 to 1997. The memorandum of understanding signed between Ghana and India, however, indicated that $19 million was to be paid as compensation. The amount was to be taken from a $42 million concessionary loan from India. Mr. Asare-Dankwa, however, noted that the payment was not effected until 2005.
AK Meshandani and DK Meshandani were the sole shareholders of this company at the time of confiscation. So it was agreed that a new company be set up that will receive the compensation. The $19 million does not include any interest. Even though government agreed to make the payment in April 1997, first payment was received in 2005. No compensation was paid. After 2005, even though from our understanding, government had received the whole $42 million in around 2004-2005, the next payment we received was in 2010. At that time, we were more interested in the principal amount, the balance that was left, because if we were to pursue interest, it was going to cause unnecessary delays, and we were not keen on that. That is why we did not raise the question of interest.
The chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Albert Kandapa, was full of praise for the company for saving the public purse from more payment in interest accrued on the settled amount.
Augustus Akwari's report. A Deputy Minister of Energy, Emmanuel Amabua, says government will make all gas oil agreements transparent. This, he said, will give the ordinary citizen, the media and civil society the opportunity to scrutinize operations of the sector and hold government accountable. Mr. Amabua also hinted that the gas policy is before cabinet for analysis. He was speaking at the transformational seminar on oil and gas organized by the Youth Professionals and Youth Coalition in Accra. A report by Mary Atule.
The Deputy Minister of Energy, Emmanuel Kofibua, said government believes that Ghana can profit immensely from her oil and gas sector when it is treated as an engine for industrial development with linkages to other sectors of the economy. To help address the problem of unemployment in the country, Mr. Kofibua said government is bent on utilizing the opportunities offered by the sector to create jobs, especially for the youth. He noted that the key policy objective of government is to ensure that the operations of the oil and gas industry are consistent with international standards of environmental sustainability. An energy economist, Mohamed Amin Adam, said there is a need for a gas policy to guide the sector. He debunked the notion that oil is a curse, saying it only becomes a curse when it is not managed well.
Ghana in 2011 became the highest growing economy in the world, growing at 14% of GDP, and that was very significant. And we know that the oil growth was about 8%. And so on account of oil, our country's economy became the toast of the world. Recently, we also got very positive information about Ghana's economy, being the 10th largest recipient of foreign direct investment in Africa, following Nigeria and South Africa in that order. That is also very significant, but it is also on account of investment in the oil and gas sector. And so, even at the beginning of our quest to develop an industry, we are already showing very significant success because of the oil and gas industry. The rest is left with the managers of the economy and the managers of the resources. How efficiently they will manage these resources will tell whether in the next 10 years we again will be counting our successes or we will be bowing our heads in shame following other countries that have not been able to escape the curse of oil.
The seminar was to equip participants with the relevant knowledge and opportunities in the oil and gas sector for rapid national transformation and self-actualization. The guest speaker was a seasoned oil and gas expert from Nigeria, Lois Laraba Machunga Disu.
That was a report by Mary Atule. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. President Mills to begin nationwide tour as NDC prepares to launch campaign next month for this year's elections. People of Gusau assured of peace and security in 2012 polls. Gas policy before cabinet. Public sector teachers to receive free laptops from government. International Criminal Court of Justice to rule today whether Chadian President Hissène Habré should be extradited to face trial in Belgium, and U.S. Army to allow its members to wear uniform at a gay pride march for the first time.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The Minister of Education, Lee Okran, says government is aiming at 60-70% BECE passes in the short term. In this regard, government has put in place measures to adequately resource teachers for quality teaching. As part of these measures, government has since the beginning of this year embarked on a project to give each public sector teacher a free laptop, inaugurating an 18-unit classroom block in Accra. Mr. Okran announced that an agreement for 50,000 of the laptops under the first phase has been signed.
For you teachers, we have promised each of you this year a laptop. Yes, it is not just a promise. For the first time in the history of this country, teachers are going to be given laptops at the cost of government. Already, a contract for the production of 50,000 has been signed. We know you are 65,819. We are doing 50,000 at phase one. If you want computer, see that you are back in office. That is how the system goes. And then the program continues. I am not supposed to deliver a speech. I am supposed to make remarks. I am very happy at what I am seeing, and I believe that everybody is happy at what he or she
he is seeing. This is how our children should be housed and taught. I hope, Mr. President, under your guidance, you'll be doing more of this. And this is what a determined people can do.
Minister of Education, Lee Okran. The General Secretary of the PNC, Bernard Mona, has described as ill-faith comments made by think tanks that the presentation by the party's flag bearer, Hassan Ayariga, at the IEA presidential encounter was not impressive. He argued that the time allotted for the program was so short that Mr. Ayariga could not have exhausted what he intends to implement. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
I think that Ghanaians have not been fair to Hassan Ayariga because content of the presentation is not what is being analyzed. But first, I also have to commend BBC Radio that I listened to the news commentary that was passed, and the conclusion that I gathered was that given the agenda that Nkrumah's political parties have set, it's clear that the panacea to the myriad of problems that confront business is vested in the Nkrumah's political path. And Hassan Ayariga's postulation on the 17th is clear testimony that we have the solution to the problems of this nation. Indeed, listen to Hassan Ayariga. He did not mince words in the platform that he found himself. One, he said, look, this is my first big platform. It is the biggest thing that has happened to me in my life. It's an honest admission that I have not encountered such a platform before. That is good leadership. Second, he comes to outline the vision that he and the PNC intend to put before the people of Ghana. It talks about rehabilitation of our economy. No one is in doubt that our economy is in shambles, and therefore our economy has to be rehabilitated. It talks about redirection, and if you take the wrong lane, certainly you will not get to the destination that you are looking for. And therefore, that certainly means that Hassan Ayariga was right. You have think tank. Rather than looking at the substance of his presentation, they come out and they are casting innuendos, and because, hey, we don't have think tanks that are sympathetic to ourselves, it means that what we have done is not. They should scrutinize. That Hassan Ayariga said, look, by the time I finish implementing my policy prescriptions, by the time the PNC government finished implementing its policy prescriptions, this nation would have gone back to the days of Nkrumah, where Ghana was targeted to be a net importer of labor. And because we may not be able to import labor from, say, China, Azerbaijan, or Kosmokaya, it will be important for us to adopt a three-shift system where some people have to work from morning to evening. Some people work from evening to midnight. Some people work from midnight to the next morning. That is creating jobs for the people. I don't know what else we want. Rather than interrogating the very policy prescriptions that the PNC and the flag bearer put for the people of Ghana.
General Secretary of the PNC, Bernard Mona. However, the Executive Director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo, said Mr. Ayariga scored no marks because he did not provide solutions to most of the issues he raised. To him, the only thing commendable about Mr. Ayariga was the fact that he appeared on the program.
My original position, which is the fact that it was largely unimpressive, is the street view, as well as like the high street, a lot of Indians, respected old politicians, religious leaders have actually ruled that they didn't think that Mr. Hassan Ayariga on the day rose to the occasion. Not at all. So I still stand by my original position.
Did you expect him to touch on something that he did not?
I expected some innovative reasoning, some improvements in the areas of policy design and implementation. We are tired of these old 30-year, 20-year development plan. That's not to say you shouldn't have plans, but 30-year plan to do what? I mean, it's easy to say you want to have a vision to do so many things. I remember when the MPP leader once said he's going to have a greater vision. Some of us came back and used what Lula da Silva did in Brazil. That look, when Lula was asked, what did you do differently? He said, I didn't have to dream about anything. I had to do the obvious. And I think the obvious in this case are the very many things that confront us, which I must commend, that Ayariga mentioned them, but the solutions were below what we really expected to be in the sphere of anything innovative. Because we've tried all the same solutions and we are getting the same results.
The Executive Director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo. The CEO of the Minerals Commission, Ben Ayi, says the commission is collaborating with chiefs and security services to ensure effective regulation of the mining sector. speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Ayi said the commission is encouraging Galamsey operators to regularize their operations by registering with the commission.
The commission, strictly speaking by the law, is not the entity responsible for dealing with illegal mining activities. However, people who are doing illegal mining generally are people who are interested in mining. So one of the things we are doing is to encourage them to come forward and get their operations regularized. If the land on which they are working is available, that is, it's not already granted to anybody, and it's not one of the no-go areas, then we will work with them to get a proper license, then we can supervise them to operate.
And then I believe the commission is aware of the invasion of these illegal Chinese miners. What recommendations have you made to government to contain it?
It's not just Chinese. There are a number of them, although the Chinese seem to be quite in the large part, the ones which is. We have a national security task force which is working on this. And I believe that it will be dealing with illegal operators in a big way in the next few months ahead of us.
CEO of the Minerals Commission, Ben Ayi. The Saudi Arabia ambassador to Ghana, Hisham Mishal Sowilem Al-Sowilem, has presented a quantity of Quran and some date fruits to President John Evans Atta Mills at the Castle Osu. Copies of the Quran are to be distributed to the Muslim community in the country. President Mills thanked the Saudi government for the gesture and also thanked Mr. Al-Sowilem for working to enhance Ghana-Saudi Arabia relations. The Deputy Minister of Health, Joseph Robert Nunu, has charged health institutions to change their attitude towards handling emergency cases. He said this is the only way to increase efficiency and access to quality health care. Mr. Nunu said this when he launched a referral policy and guidelines in Accra. Judith Doe was at the launch.
The policy of referring patients from primary healthcare institutions to secondary healthcare facilities for continuous provision of healthcare in the country has been identified as an integral component of the health delivery system. Mr. Nunu said there is therefore the need to ensure a well-structured system that will enhance handling emergency cases. He noted that the Ministry of Health is concerned about the current practice of patients' referrals, which most of the time delays in accessing emergency care and leads to preventable deaths. The ministry, in its quest to ensure creating a healthy population for national development, is committed to operating a referral system that will ensure a safe and efficient transfer of emergency cases. He added that the referral policy looks at the current situation of referral system, types of referrals, and general principles of referrals.
Judith Doe's report. The chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Alhaji Muntaka Mubarak, says after the passage of the Public Health Bill into law, it is the duty of everyone to help in its implementation. He said the bill covers a wide range of health issues, making it important for its enforcement. Alhaji Muntaka Mubarak noted that the Food and Drug Authority has been mandated by Parliament to appoint inspectors who will take charge of the aspect of the bill which deals with inappropriate use of tobacco. Alhaji Muntaka, who is the MP for Asowasi, was speaking at a news conference on the passage of the Public Health Bill. Mauku Fiahajiman and Sylvia Tabi Satin for Radio Ghana.
The MP for Asawase and chairman for the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Muntaka Mubarak, said the bill has gone through all the necessary stages in Parliament with the exception of the presidential assent to make it a law. He stated that the Ministry of Health, together with the Food and Drugs Authority, will be responsible for the implementation of the bill. Alhaji Mubarak said some laid down penalties for smoking in public, especially where there are non-smokers around, attracts a maximum of 3 years imprisonment. He called on all stakeholders to help in educating the general public on the dangers of tobacco use. The World Health Organization was represented by Dr. Idrissa Sow, who said the WHO is ever ready to support government to explore areas to increase resources for tobacco control.
What I'm happy is to note that the bill, which is governed in the support of WHO and passed by the Parliament, addresses all the issues and enumerated in essence. What we need is to quickly develop the necessary instruments when it is signed by the president, because we have reached an important milestone.
The executive director for Vision for Alternative Development, Issa Ali, said he is happy the public health bill will be passed into law very soon and promised to help in its implementation.
That was a report by Moku Fiahe Ajeman and Sylvia Tabi. Three Nigerians arrested last January for illegally possessing arms have been arraigned before an Accra Circuit Court. Amusu Taiwo, a driver, Sunday Eze, a businessman, are charged with possessing firearms and ammunition without lawful authority, while Oliver Ame Opanachi is charged with abetment of crime. All three accused persons are on a conspiracy charge. The International Criminal Court of Justice is due to rule today on whether former Chadian President Hissène Habré should be extradited to face trial in Belgium. Mr. Habré has been accused of killing tens of thousands of Chadians. He has been living in exile in Senegal since his overthrow in 1990. Pressure has been mounting on Senegalese authorities to try him or extradite him to Belgium. Meanwhile, authorities in Senegal say they will today meet an ECOWAS delegation on the fate of Mr. Habré, and whatever conclusion is reached will hold. To end the news, the main points again. President Mills will begin a nationwide tour as NDC prepares to launch campaign next month for this year's elections. People of Gusau are sure of peace and security in 2012 polls. Gas policy before cabinet. Public sector teachers to receive free laptops from government. International Criminal Court of Justice to rule today whether Chadian President Hissène Habré should be extradited to face trial in Belgium, and U.S. Army to allow its members to wear uniform at a gay pride march for the first time. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng in Accra.